Luke chapter 2, part of the Christmas story. Amen. I love this time of year. It's a challenge this time of year, amen, especially for preachers to try to find something new to preach on as far as Christmas goes. You know, when you've preached at a church for 25 years, sometimes. Amen. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. The Lord just gave me a thought as I was reading this. The Bible says there in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Why didn't everybody there go to see?
Amen.
Come on. I mean, they told everybody about it, but the Bible don't make no mention of everybody running down there to that stable and seeing the Christ child.
Come on.
Why ain't the church house full tonight? There's enough people within a 5-mile radius of here to fill every church we got around here. They know about the Christ child, but they choose not to come. Amen. That ain't got nothing to do with the message.
Wow.
That's just something that the Lord gave me a thought on. Let's pray. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord. And God, we almost know it by heart, but God, it's so good just to read it again. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God, over the next little bit. We try to preach this, God, in a way that you would be pleased, God. Touch us tonight, God. Help us to realize everybody's important tonight. And whatever's done, we'll praise you and we'll honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever felt like, and I know you have, so don't sit there and clam up on me.
Come on.
Have you ever felt like that you didn't matter?
Amen. Come on.
Have you ever felt like that I'm in my little bubble here and it's just me and all the stuff going on around? I'm just a little speck. I don't really fit into everything that's going on. And for lack of a better way of saying it, sometimes if we ain't careful, we can feel insignificant.
Amen. Come on.
But I want you to understand something. God loves you. And you are important in the grand scheme of things. Amen. We know when we think about Christmas, you know, Christmas is the largest single biggest holiday by far in the world. Amen. We know that Christmas is the largest expense of the year. $1.3 trillion are spent worldwide on Christmas. They buy gifts. We buy, you know, traveling. We the decorations. We know that it's the largest expectation of the year. Also, we go see relatives. We have all these things, engagements, wedding. We got a wedding in just about a week. Amen. Praise God. I love it. It's the greatest. It's the largest parties of the year. Nobody has parties like you do when it comes Christmas time. Amen. I mean, just like our senior saints having having the senior adult class having a, why don't they have a Christmas party at Easter?
Come on.
I'm all for partying, amen.
Come on.
Why don't we have a Halloween party? I'm just saying. We always wait to Christmas time because Christmas is so, and the thing about it is Christmas is so big that if we ain't careful, we'll miss the little things that make it special. Amen? I want to preach just a little while on some little things in the Christmas story. Aren't you glad that God uses insignificant people?
Amen.
Think about that. When you think about all through the Word of God, all the great people he used, you look at the Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was a simple, poor girl of Nazareth. She was not fashionable. She was not no prophetess. She was not no rich person. Her family did not stand out as far as being royalty. Oh, but she was going to be, amen. But she at that time she didn't have any kind of famous attributes to her name. She was not anybody's heroine at that time. You know, we go back and read the Bible. We know of some ladies through the Bible that had great names, but Mary was not like that. At that time, she was just a lowly servant girl. It ain't like that now.
Come on. Amen.
You ask anybody who was the mother of Jesus, everybody knows her name now. But at that time, it was not so. At that time, you know, we think about, when you think about Joseph, Joseph did not stand out. Joseph was not some great disciple. Joseph was not a member of the Sanhedrin. He was not a high priest. You thinking, you know, if God's going to be born, if he's going to come down, you know, I said this before, if it had been me and I was going to leave the splendor of glory, I'd have been born in some kind of mansion or palace or something like that. But that's not how Jesus chose to be born. Jesus chose to come to two insignificant, so we thought, people that really had no, there was nothing about them that stood out, glory to God, but praise the Lord, he chose them.
Amen.
And then when you look at our story that we read tonight, you're looking at shepherds. Shepherds were the low of the low in the economic class. Most of the time, shepherds were hired out. They didn't even own their own sheep. But God sent angels to them. I thought about it. Mary had one angel. Joseph had one angel. Them shepherds, son, they had a multitude.
Amen.
Glory to God. So God chooses insignificant people sometimes to work his will. I thank God as far as the shepherds. God didn't send down those angels to the Sanhedrin. God didn't send down those angels to all these great prophets of the Old Testament. God didn't send down those angels to all those people that were out there playing religious, putting on all the garb, putting on all the stuff. God sent these angels to some lowly, insignificant, so we thought, people that was out there doing the job they were supposed to be doing.
Amen.
And God used them. Just imagine how that night might have went. You out there tending your sheep, minding your own business, and all of a sudden an angel comes on. Fear not. That had to have been the first words out of my mouth. It scared me to death. Amen, y'all, don't y'all sit there and get all holy on me. I'm telling you right now, ain't none of y'all ever seen no angel. If you did, it'd scare you to death too.
Amen.
Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And the Bible goes on, and then there was a multitude of angels saying, glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine a multitude of angels saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Don't you know it probably sounded like thunder all throughout Bethlehem? But right there where they were at, they understood exactly what God was saying. Amen?
Amen.
God used these people. The shit now, as I was studying, don't you think about something? The shepherds, after the angels left, the shepherds went to see if what they said was true. The Bible tells us, and suddenly there was the angel of multitudes, host saying, praise to God, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill. And it came to pass as the angel was gone away from them, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. You know, if we ain't careful, why in the world did they do that? Because that's what they were supposed to do. The Bible tells us to prove all things. Amen? Amen. They wanted to find out if this was really, really what they were talking about. After that, they went back to doing their job. That's something we can all take credit in right there or take heed to. God's got a job for all of us. Amen? We come, and sometimes if we're not careful, we want to do the big things. Well, until you start doing the little things, God's never going to show you the big things. Until you're faithful in the small things, God's never going to give you more to do. Amen. So these shepherds, they were faithful. They were, and as I was studying about this, you know, I wonder how many people saw the star but never moved. See, the problem is a lot of times if we ain't careful, we know, like I said a while ago, there's enough people within a 5-mile radius of here to fill every church in South in Lancaster County. Amen? But they know the stars there. But they understand. But understand something. The real Christmas day for us and you and I does not come on December 25th. The real Christmas day for me came in October, glory to God. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, when I accepted the gift that God gave, understand that these shepherds, they came down and God used them. And God can use Robert Lloyd. God can use Jackie. God can use Larry. God can use Robert. God can use all of us. And we got to understand something. You say, well, I'm not that big in the scheme of things, but God's got a job for you.
Amen.
When you look at through the Bible, all the people that God used to perform great tasks. One of the things I thought about today as I was studying this, God used David, a shepherd boy, to kill Goliath. Can you imagine that? Let's kind of put it in today's perspective. David, a shepherd boy, probably around 16, maybe 17 years old at the time, David comes on the scene where Goliath is mocking the armies, and the armies of the living God, the armies of God with the king are back on one side of the hill and the enemy on the other side of the hill, and David walks in, and all the special forces, all those in today's terms, all the Navy SEALs, all the Green Berets, all the recon is back there. They too scared to move. And God uses a little shepherd boy to kill Goliath.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Don't tell me God can't use you. God will use you if you'll let him. God used Gideon to defeat the Midianites with only 300 men. God used Moses to lead the children out of Egypt. God used a little maiden to heal, get Naaman healed, amen? You understand that God's got a job for you and I. Don't you ever think that I can't do it. Don't you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Don't ever think that you can. Hey, God might be dealing with somebody about preaching. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I never thought, I never grew up wanting to be a preacher. I'll be honest with you. I didn't grow up wanting to be a highway patrolman either. Miss Alice had no idea what I was going to preach when she sung that song.
Amen.
His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. God might be got a missionary sitting under the sound of my voice. God might be got the next Carlisle Hannah sitting under the sound of my voice. I'm just telling you right now, God can use you. Don't you ever think that God can't use you. Well, I've done this and I've done that. Don't you worry about what that. Hey, God can still use you. Amen. I'm glad God uses insignificant places. When you study the Bible on this, Bethlehem was not that great of a place. It is now in the grand scheme of things. Everybody knows what happened at Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago. But at that time, it was not that great of a place. It was not the political center. It was not the capital. It was not a great walled city like Jericho. It was not a great international place like the city at Corinth. It was not some kind of resort. It was not a great place where everything was happening at. It just happened to be the place where Joseph had to go back because that's where his family was from. And that's where God used for Jesus Christ to be born. When you start looking at insignificant places for great events in the Bible, he used a borrowed tomb for the Savior to come out of, amen. He used a hillside to feed 5,000. He used a borrowed room to have the Lord's Supper. He used dungeons where nobody wanted to be to have the greatest epistles in the Bible written. Insignificant places, places that look insignificant to you and I are not insignificant to God. Moses is on the backside of the desert. Moses is back there tending sheep. He's back there minding his own business. And God said, I'm just going to set this here bush afire and get his attention. God can use anything. God can use you and I. I understand. So he put Jacob in a lonely field, and he wrestled with him. Gideon found the Lord's will in the wilderness. John wrote the revelation on the Isle of Patmos. Glory to God. Don't worry about where you're at right now. Worry about where God wants you to be. You might think, well, there's people sitting in this building right now. Just a few years ago, you thought God was done with you. You thought God couldn't use you. But look where God's got you at right now. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. We got people sitting under the sound of my voice. You thought you was washed up. You thought nobody wanted you anymore. But look what God done. Amen. God uses insignificant places. God uses insignificant things. When you get to thinking about it, I don't know, how many know what a manger really is? We know that Jesus Christ was born and they laid him in a manger. Do y'all know what a manger really is? In South Carolina redneck terms, that's a trough where you feed animals. Now, see, the thing about it is, at that time, Brother Robert, it was a feeding barrel or a feeding trough, or what we would call a trough. But you know what? If they had that little manger right now, people would bow down and worship that little manger right now. Because that's the place where Jesus Christ was laid. You understand something? Just in a little bit of time before, he was walking the streets of gold. In a little bit of time before, hey, as far as Jesus' mind goes, we can't comprehend the mind of God. But he don't know anything about time because he is time. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. Understand? He was just speaking everything into existence, and now he's laying in a manger. A trough. God used an insignificant little place like that to put the Son of God. How about the swaddling clothes? Y'all know what that was? Rags that happened to be laying around in the stable. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. I'll never forget, there's a message in Jeremiah 38, if I'm not mistaken, that I preached several years ago, and it talked about how Jeremiah, Brother Robert, got cast down into the pit, and the Bible says there was no water in the pit, but it was muddy, and he was down there, and then the Bible says there was an Ethiopian named Abed-Melech, and the Bible says that he looked in and saw Jeremiah and took pity on Jeremiah, and he went to the king, and the king said, go ahead and get him out of that pit. Jeremiah went, and the Bible says he found a box of old cast clouts. Understand, that ain't nothing but a bunch of old rags. And Jeremiah dropped them down to Abimelech dropped them down in that dungeon to Jeremiah. He said, take these old rags and put them up under your arms. And he lowered a rope down to him, and he wrapped that rope around him, and he pulled him out. You know why he put those old rags up under his arms? Because when God pulls you out, it ain't going to hurt as much as it did when you went in, glory to God. I'm telling you, God's got somebody tonight. God's trying to tell you, oh, you might be down right now. You might be in a dungeon right now, but I'm getting ready to pull you out. I'm getting ready to help you. I'm going to use some insignificant things. I'm going to use some little old things that you wouldn't even imagine that I'm going to pull you out with, glory to God. I'm telling you, don't you worry about where you're at. God knows where you're at. Don't you worry about how down you are. God knows how down you are. God's going to pull you out, and he's going to use little bitty things. See, it blows our minds. Just going to give you a good example of what I'm talking about. When we built this church, we went to the bank. And the bank told us we didn't have enough units. That's what they would call tithers back then. Said, you don't have enough units to borrow the money y'all wanting to borrow. Well, guess what? We didn't have enough units. But look what God did. Amen. And God did it without a millionaire in this church. God did it because people loved the Lord, and they binded together, and they paid their tithes, and they did what they were supposed to do, and God used all of us, little insignificant people at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, to work his will. See, if we ain't careful, a lot of times we're looking for the next great thing, and God's trying to do something in your life with something small. When Elijah was looking for the voice of God, he was trying to find it into thunder. He was trying to find it into wind. He said, no, it's in a still, small voice. Folks, God can use anything. God can use anything. When you start looking at how God used the little simple things, God used 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. You ain't never done that. God took a jawbone of an ass in Samson's hand and wiped out the Philistines. Amen. Amen? That's what God can do. God took an old shepherd's rod. I mean, an old stick that Moses found out there in the desert. God used every time he held that thing up, God moved. The Red Sea parted. I'm telling you, water came from a rock. That's what God can do. So you and I, we just got to make sure we get our mind focused on the right thing. Quit worrying about the next great thing. Let me tell you something. I might not never be governor of South Carolina. I might not never be president of the United States. But I'm telling you, hey, I'm going to work my little garden right here in South Carolina. I'm going to do what I can do right here in South Carolina, and I'm going to let God take care of the rest. You do what you're supposed to do. Hey, this is one of my sayings for 25 years. You do what's right, and God will take care of the rest of it. Amen. Yeah, preacher, I'm in a bind. Do what's right, and God will take care of the rest of it. I'm glad God uses insignificant people. Amen. God can use you no matter what your limitations. It don't matter your limitations. All you got to do is be willing. God can use insignificant places. I'm reminded of a story. I think Preacher Jack Lasseter told this story. And I don't remember where it was at. It was a state in the upper part of the nation. And said this old man felt like God had called him to preach, and said that he goes before the ordaining council, and the ordaining council said, well, you don't have no education, and you don't have you're unlearned, and you got a lot of age on you. And so they wouldn't ordain him. And so this guy just starts figuring, he said, well, I'll just build a church on my land and I'll start preaching. So he built a little church on his land, on his farm. He cut off about an acre or so, built a little church. And in just a matter of a little while, just a few, maybe a year's time, his church was full. The ordaining council called him back in. Wanted to hide in the world, he built that church up. They said, what books are you reading to build this church like this? He said, I only read one book. That's the Bible. They said, well, how do you explain the growth of your church? He said, I tell you what it is. He said, me and my wife get in my old pickup truck and we ride down the highway and we see a house. And we think, hey, somebody lives there. He said, we turn in the driveway, walk up there, knock on the door, and we tell them about Jesus. And it's amazing. They get saved and they start coming to church. Most of us, when we leave here, Brother Robert, how many houses will you pass on the way home? Brother Ralph, how many houses will you pass on the way home? Y'all know people live there? There's a little double wide right down the road on Huff Road. People ride by it all the time. Most people look over there and say, that's a little insignificant house. We ain't worried about that house. But there's two people that live there that God didn't think that way. And God sent somebody to your house and got you where you're at today. God can use insignificant people. He can use insignificant places. And he can use insignificant things. Your testimony is the best thing you've got. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. You listen. You ain't got to have a testimony of getting shot on the side of the road. You ain't got to have a testimony of being in a shootout. You ain't got to. All you got to do is tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Amen. Amen. All you got to do is tell somebody what Jesus did for you. You ain't got to have a testimony like Al's got. Al's got a great testimony, and God's going to use him. Grant's got a testimony. Most of you don't know what Grant's testimony is. Benji's got a testimony. Adam's got a testimony. God uses people, places, and things. Robert Lloyd can sing, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd just about rather hear Robert Lloyd sing than any professional group that I know of. God can use that man right there to speak to people. I'm going to be honest with you, and you're going to probably laugh a little bit, but the first time I met Chucky Rivers, I thought the man was crazy. Some of y'all still think that. But I'm going to tell you what Miss Linda Snipes said. She said, the first time you said you got Chucky to speak, she said, I was a little bit concerned. She said, but it blew my mind how good he did.
Amen.
Amen. God can use you. Don't ever think God can't use you. Don't ever think that you're not good enough. Don't ever think that you're not what somebody else is. God don't want you to be somebody else. God didn't want Mary to be somebody else. God didn't want Joseph to be somebody else. If God wanted to be somebody else, he'd have sent the angel to them. God can use you, and God wants to use you. Amen. Brother Robert, come get us a song.